Pleased to welcome to today's program Jennifer Emiko Kaplan of the Metropolitan Area Planning Council. She is the Economic Development Planner there to chat about an interesting video series spotlighting some Asian-owned businesses here in Quincy. Jennifer, nice to meet you.
It's great to meet you, Joe. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. I was, you know, really intrigued when I first heard about this special program that MAPC embarked on to really highlight and spotlight Asian-owned businesses, particularly here in Quincy, but also how the pandemic has impacted them. So if you could maybe chat a little bit, I guess we should let folks know about what Metropolitan Area Planning Council is first.
I'm happy to. So the Metropolitan Area Planning Council, we go by MAPC, not MAPC, as the acronym may lead you to think. We're a regional planning agency within Massachusetts. I believe we're one of 13. We cover 101 cities and towns. I like to say that we're right up to that 495 belt is really our geography. And Quincy is, of course, one of the cities within our region.
Yeah, you've worked extensively, I know, with the Downtown Quincy Center Redevelopment Project. I know you'll be working on the Wollaston Development Project in the future. So no stranger to the city of Quincy by any means.
Yes. But I'm happy to talk about the project itself. So it's actually interesting. So the project is called the Regional Immigrant Entrepreneur Storytelling Project. And it actually dates back to working with the city of Quincy of how this all started. So in 2019, we were working on a small business plan with the city of Quincy. And it was during that time that we started working with Quincy Asian Resources, which is a local community-based organization I'm sure you're familiar with. They're wonderful. And we started doing outreach for the project with Quarry, doing door-to-door interviews, interviewing Asian small business owners in North Quincy and Wollaston. And it was during that time that we heard two main things. The first was just incredible stories from these business owners who had established themselves as cornerstones of their community. And the second was that the current municipal services being offered were not being actively used, nor were they accessible to the community. So we were wrapping up this project in early 2020, it's really February, March, when we started hearing about COVID and we started hearing about misinformation, particularly around the pandemic, which was racializing infectious diseases and saying that Asians were responsible, right? Don't go to Chinatown, don't go to Chinese businesses. And the resulting xenophobia was having an alarming impact on the Asian small business community. And, you know, at that time, as we sort of moved in quickly into large scale non-essential business closures, we were thinking that this could be made worse by the fact that Asian small business owners were not, they had not previously been accessing city services, state services. And so any sort of relief or aid that came in that form would not be reaching Asian small business owners who had been impacted just so early on. And so we wanted to bring attention to this issue and we wanted to encourage municipalities and state governments to really be thinking about the recovery of these Asian small businesses where the pandemic had had an impact. So, you know, in the brainstorming for that, we started working with our arts and culture department at MAPC, and we kept coming back to the stories that we had really started to hear during the small business plan process. And we wanted to explore ways to share these incredible stories and start a regional conversation about what recovery could look like for the Asian small business community. So to that end, we started a regional survey. We asked Asian small business owners really across our 101 towns to respond and tell us about what the impact of COVID had been, what it meant to be an Asian small business owner in the region. And then the second part of this was these filmed interviews. And so we know that stories needed to be rooted in history and also just neighborhoods and just the rich fabric of a community. And so we came back to Quincy and we partnered with Daphne Shu, our filmmaker, and interviewed three small business owners in Quincy. And so that was Jim May, the owner of Jim's Hair Salon in North Quincy, Chris Li, who's the owner of Hungar Kung Fu Lion Dance Academy, who's, I believe, just south of Wollaston in his new location, and Lorraine Say, the CEO of Sunshine Travel, who works out of Kamon Plaza and then also has a Boston Chinatown location. And we asked them to share their stories about, you know, what had the impact of COVID been? what support they still needed. We also asked them to share stories of their resiliency. Many had sort of pivoted services and locations to respond to the impacts of the pandemic. And we also asked them to share what brought them to Quincy, why they called it home and they loved the community. So we did these interviews, and I just want to point out here that also this wouldn't have been possible without the continued support of community-based organizations like Quarry. So they partnered with us on this project. And we also had partners within Boston Chinatown Neighborhood Center, Asian Community Development Corporation, and Chinatown Main Streets. And the reason we partnered with these community-based orgs is because they are the ones who have been on the ground providing a lot of the services prior to the pandemic and during the pandemic, and sort of being an intermediary where, of course, city and states are still trying to sort of fix these systems long-term. So that's really the impetus of the project.
Curious, when you first started out, Jen, in 2019, were you finding that these businesses already were having trouble accessing these city services, these programs that were available to them, and then that got exacerbated by the pandemic?
Yeah, I think that's one way to look at it. The city services that were being provided, you know, there was definitely individual challenges. Part of it was about language access. Mm-hmm. And part of it was that perhaps it was not as needed too. The Asian business owners we spoke to were thriving. They were doing really fantastic. And of course, like you said, COVID really exacerbated the situation. And no matter how wonderful your business is doing, you can't weather a pandemic if you're closed for 3 months.
Right, exactly. Yeah. How did you partner with the filmmaker, you know, and how did that decision come about to actually put together videos about this?
Yeah, so in about May, June was probably when we started looking for a filmmaker, and we were in the process of gathering quotes when we were introduced to Daphne. Daphne Zhu, she's Canadian Chinese, and she was actually already working with community-based orgs out of Boston's Chinatown. Okay. So we met her through that. She'd been working with Chinatown Community Land Trust at the time, and she told us about how she has a background in both anthropology and city planning, which is very unique. I don't think you meet many people like that. And she also comes from a family of small business owners in Canada. And she was the perfect fit to work on this project.
Yeah. And how did you come to select the three businesses that were spotlighted?
Mm-hmm. So when we were originally starting the process of figuring out what these films would be about, how we wanted to approach it, we were sort of asking big questions in partnership with our community-based orgs. Sort of thinking about, okay, if we want to do these interviews, we need to think about who's been impacted, you know, what industries are they representing, and also thinking about what it means to be doing these interviews in a changing community like Quincy. We were thinking about the tenure of businesses. Hmm. And finally, we were also thinking about time commitment. This was a big ask. If you've had a chance to see the videos, you'll see that all three are filmed very differently. And that's actually because each business owners filmed their own footage.
Oh, okay.
And that was an idea by Daphne, because we really wanted to invite you into the world of what it meant to be Jim operating out of his hair salon, or Lorraine giving a tour of Quincy like she might during, you know, normal times. And it was also a safety measure. Mm-hmm. These films were probably 98% filmed remotely, except for some B-roll on the street. So it was combined, it actually made a really unique perspective on the stories. And so we were thinking about these larger questions as indicators of who we wanted to interview. And then ultimately, one of our partners introduced us to Lorraine and Jim. And then shortly after, we were connected to Chris.
Okay. And did you find that they were experiencing xenophobia, if you will, you know, issues involving their Asian race when it comes to their business?
It depends on who you asked. So from the filmed interview, yes, we did hear that some of the business owners we interviewed had experienced direct experiences of xenophobia. And also, additionally, I mentioned earlier, we also did a regional survey. Mm-hmm. One of the questions we asked was, as an Asian business owner, what are some of the challenges you experience, you know, during COVID, but also just generally? And we did hear that we had almost 70 people answer the survey, and a good amount of those said that they had experienced increased xenophobia due to the pandemic.
So does this project fit with MAPC's overall mission, if you will?
Yes, it does. It's a short answer, but a long answer. I would say, you know, as a regional planning agency, MAPC is committed to equity in the planning process across the region, our 101 towns. And equity for us means focusing resources on underserved or historically marginalized groups to make improvements to the overall system. So as an economic development team, that takes the form of economic equity. And using that lens, I would say that COVID has shown a lot of cracks in our system, especially around how small businesses are accessing services provided by the city and state. So I think the responsibility does fall on our agency to address this and not only think about short-term relief for these agent small business owners, but also long-term systemic change to ensure their success and economic resiliency moving forward.
How have you found that the city of Quincy has responded to help out its businesses? I know the planning department has been proactive, at least in helping businesses apply for whatever grants they might be eligible for. Has that translated well to Asian businesses in Quincy?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. The city of Quincy has been so supportive as we continue to work on this project within their city. And you know, I think it's been also wonderful because we've been able to stay in communication as they've actually implemented some recommendations from the small business plan we worked on with them as part of thinking about accessible services. One thing that you've probably viewers have seen, maybe you've seen as well, is the communication access plan that's been going out. So that's the city of Quincy's working on that with community-based org partners like Quarry, ACDC, and BCNC, I believe. And it's about assessing language accessibility for the business community across the city. And like that is just wonderful. That is the kind of planning that we would recommend municipalities across the region undertake as they think about supporting Asian small business owners moving forward. So they've been really supportive and we're excited to see them continue this work and sort of be a leader in this field.
That's great. The videos themselves, about how long are they, Jen, and how can folks see them? Because I know they've already been released, right?
Yes, they have been released. So we had a film premiere last week, which was our big unveiling, but they are available on our website. I'll share a link. And they're about 10 minutes each. Okay. You should be able to view them there.
Okay. And what has the response been so far?
The response has been really positive. We've heard from a lot of partners and individuals just around the region that this is a really authentic way, has I think been a word that's been used a lot to share these stories, and they've resonated with a lot of people.
Do you think that maybe some of the fear, misinformation that was at the outset of the pandemic has faded now it's a year later?
I wish I could say so, Joe. I would say that, you know, the spike in Asian hate crimes that we've seen in the past, just the past few months, or perhaps they're getting more media coverage, it's hard to tell. I think things have gotten a little bit worse. So I think it's a continued battle to, again, combat that misinformation, to just remind people that infectious diseases don't come from a certain race or ethnicity or group of people.
There's going to be a discussion about this project coming up on Wednesday, is that right?
Yes, so March 17th at 3:30 p.m., we're going to be inviting our partners on the project to come for a panel discussion. That includes Daphne, our filmmaker, as well. And we'll be sharing the policy recommendations. These are aimed at, there's a framework for municipal and state government to really think about, implement if they're invested in the relief of small Asian business owners in the next year. And then we're going to be asking two main questions. I would say sort of where have we been and where are we going? So really using, you know, let me back up here. Mm-hmm. I would say that March 17th, that was a really purposeful date for us because it approaches that 1 year mark where a lot of our lives changed in the United States. And, you know, we recognize that the Asian community was also instrumental in limiting the spread of the virus by choosing to close businesses early, in some cases around then, and adopting and promoting social distancing and the use of personal protective equipment. And this was before really any of that was required by the Commonwealth. So that combined with the increase in xenophobia and hate crimes, we want to really look back and see looking at all those layers, what has truly been the impact on Asian small business owners, and taking a critical look at the policy recommendations and seeing, will this help? Will this help the situation?
Is there anything planned after the 17th, Jen, to kind of set the stage for the next step?
No, I'm glad you asked. So as an agency, we are committed to a multi-phase project. So when we're in contact with communities and partners that are interested in working with us on this next phase. We're still focusing on Asian businesses. I think that's a question that gets asked a lot. And that is because there's still so much to address. And the work is currently being funded by one of our funders. And, you know, moving forward, we expect to find other public sources that we raise or have within our agency. So there's still, and we also want to continue our work with artists. I didn't really talk about in today about just, you know, what the impact of COVID has been on the arts community. Mm-hmm. It's been devastating. And we want to continue to create opportunities to work with them.
Do you envision maybe projects like this with other communities of color in the future?
I think that the way I see this is we have established a sort of framework, is a word I think I used earlier as well, to start the conversation of what it means to be doing equitable small business support. So I hope so. If not us, anybody who is willing to undertake this work, it's something that has to be done.
How do folks participate in the virtual discussion?
We have a Zoom link to register, which I will share, and it's going to be all virtual online.
Okay, very good. Anything else that you think is important right now we should let folks know about?
No, I want to thank you, Joe, for having me today. And also I want to thank Daphne, our filmmaker, and our partners in the community-based organizations and MAPC for continuing to support this project.
Great, really appreciate your time. And if we can do anything here at QA TV to talk about your mission, please reach out. We're happy to help.
Great. Thank you so much, Joe.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.